You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard, and you're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I hope everyone listening to this is doing well. I'm doing great. It's spring, which means that my allergies are back, but that's okay. I'm really grateful for the season change, for the new energy that each new season brings. I'm taking my Zyrtec every morning, so it's all good. I spoke on a wellness panel today, which was a really great experience because the women that I was on the panel with were so different from me. So there was a woman who does creative direction for herbivore botanicals. There was another woman who's a Reiki healer. So very, very different backgrounds and experiences. We all had an opportunity to talk about what self-care means to us, how we differentiate discipline, care, and punishment when it comes to things like diet and the food that we're eating, and how we approach setting goals for ourselves. And we each had a chance to talk about what it means when you don't reach the goals you've set out for yourself, but how you reset anyway and how you tackle it again and how each day is a new opportunity, but also just not becoming too obsessed with self-optimization and self-care all the time. And that's actually something that Bezadonna and I talk about in this episode. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear it. She's an amazing, amazing woman, both in her career, but also just her personal outlook on life is really grounded, really inspiring. I love her spiritual practice, and she just has a really good grasp on what's important in life and the fact that we're only here once, so enjoy it. Yeah, I got a lot out of this conversation. There's one more thing I'd like to share before we get into the episode. As I was on my way to the panel today, I had this realization that I wasn't nervous, or I haven't been as nervous as I've been to speak on things in the past few months. And I think it's because maybe I'm getting used to it. Obviously, I talk to you guys all the time here on this podcast, but speaking in front of a live audience, it's always different. And it takes me back to this intention that I set for myself in the beginning of the year. It was maybe the end of December. I did a Temescal ceremony in Tulum with the group that I was with. And that's basically, you go into, it's a sweat lodge ceremony. So you go into this really, really, really hot dome, and there are coals, and there is smoke that's created from those coals. And you all sit together in a group in a circle, and you chant, and you sweat. But you also, as part of that ceremony, what we did is we had to say our intentions for the year ahead aloud. So we had to say what we wanted for ourselves in 2019. And looking back, I realized that I said that I wanted to use my voice and my personal experience to help and inspire more people. And it's interesting that I made that my intention because I've seen more and more this year that I've been speaking more, that I've had more productivity in terms of this podcast. I've been putting out more episodes than I have any other year since I've done it, which just speaks to the power of intention. And when you put something out into the universe, how it happens to just manifest. I would really encourage everyone to say what you want for yourself aloud. Those thoughts eventually do play out in your life, and they do eventually come true. So it's something that I have to continue to tap into. I feel really lucky that I get to speak to so many inspiring women, and I feel very privileged that I'm able to share their stories with you all. So thank you all for all of the positive feedback that I've received, for all of the ratings and reviews that you guys have been leaving in the Apple Podcast app. I really appreciate that. Of course, there's @NakedBeautyPlanet. That's the community on Instagram. Please make sure you guys are following that. And if you guys ever want to introduce yourself or say hi, I'm @Brooke Devard. Love meeting all of the listeners. Without further ado, let's get into the episode. It is such a good one. I know you guys are all going to love it. You guys are going to all become huge fans of Bezadonna. And side note, she has the most infectious, lovely laugh of all time. Every time I just heard her laugh, I was just filled with joy. So I think you guys are going to really enjoy hearing from her. All right, let's get into the episode.
The Run for Revogue is where you'll meet all the most exciting people in fashion and culture.
I am Fran Lebowitz, who should be the mayor of New York.
We all support that.
We support that.
Very nice.
Nikki.
Yes.
It's been really great being in this beautiful pink room.
All right, Usher, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right.
Can you hear me?
We can.
We can.
All right, here we are.
On the podcast, you'll learn how Vogue really works.
Sometimes we'll come in for a second or even third run through until we are AWOK.
Can you tell us what AWOK means?
It means AWOK, Anna Wintour OK.
I'm Cho Minardi.
And I'm Chloe Mel.
And we're the hosts of The Run Through with Vogue, where fashion and culture collide.
Join us. It's AWOK.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Will you say your full name?
Bessie Donna Amorua.
Okay, Bessie Donna Amorua. Beautiful name. Where's that name from?
Nigeria.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. All the best. People think my last name is Nigerian.
Really?
When they hear a Zidenly. And I think maybe they just like see that I'm black and it's like a, I think it's the O, because a lot of Nigerian last names start with O, right?
A lot of them have O, and there's a lot more Igbos over here. So my name is actually a little bit foreign too. It's Shakiri, okay. Actually. Ah. So when people hear it, especially Nigerians, they're a little confused. They're like, what tribe are you from? And I tell them I'm Ishikiri. And they're like, oh, it all makes sense that your last name isn't like Chukwus, like have something in it that's related to Igbo or Yoruba.
Yes. And but you're L.A. Mm-hmm. based. You grew up in L.A.
Grew up in L.A. Love L.A. I'm definitely a Cali woman. I feel like L.A. will always be a base for me. But I always feel like I'm an international person because just growing up in my parents' household, I was Nigerian first. I learned everything about my culture before I learned about American culture, black culture. So
you are very humble. So I will just share this on your behalf. You were recently listed by The Hollywood Reporter as one of the industry's next generation of talent, 35 execs under 35 poised to lord over the industry, which is like quite the claim. Industry recognition like that, what does it mean to you?
You know what? It's a marker for me. It's kind of like a career marker, like, okay, check, people are noticing, right? But I feel like the true success markers for me are when I see the impact I have on the people I work with.
Right.
So I used to be an agent at LA Models. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I still drive around and I'll see billboards in LA with some of the models I used to work with, or I'll see them on TV shows. And so it makes me feel happy that the talent I work with are successful. Yeah. Because that's mostly what my passion is people. Yeah. So the accolades are great, you know, for the industry to take notice. But at the same time, it's super important for me because I make sure I work with a diverse range of people. And that doesn't just mean I'm picking up black people to work with or African people. It's different types of women from different backgrounds, different types of people from different industries, or people who have unique passions, and putting them in the industry to see certain things, because most often we just get the same type of cookie cutter talent.
Right. And it seems like your passion is uplifting them behind the scenes.
Yeah. I think it's just so much more fun, and I get to be so creative working with people who have different passions, who are pushing me to also think outside the box, think strategically, be creative, do different things. So I like to be behind the scenes for sure.
And you went to Marymount?
Yes. So
that's all girls school, right?
Yeah. So no, actually before that, St. Lucie's was my high school. So that was my all girls school.
Okay.
High school, which was very much like whatever you've heard.
Was it like uniforms?
Oh, we wore the uniforms. We did so many things I would never say on air. But it was so much fun. I always tell people I had the best time with all my girlfriends. And I still talk to them today, a lot of them.
I think going to all-girls school is also just a great life lesson in understanding how to navigate different personalities, right? Especially if it's a small school. Did you feel like you fit into the girls that you went to school with?
Absolutely not. I mean, I was 1 in 9 Black women out of 800.
What?
Yes, for about like 4 years.
Wow.
Both of my sisters also went through the school as well. So
are they part of the 9?
No. Okay. Actually, they weren't. So I don't even know if that number went down or up as they went through.
Oh my God.
But my sister had just graduated, so I came in as a freshman. So I kind of was under her shadow for a little bit. Like, you're walking through the gym and you see the track medals and awards. Her race times, I think, are still up there. I don't think people have still beaten them.
Amazing.
You know, so when I'm coming through there, and she was like class president, all these different things. So I had to really make my own way. But my friends were diverse. You know, I had a lot of different women around me that wanted to do different things. I had Asian friends, I had white friends, I had Hispanic friends, foreign friends, like girls who had just come to the country. It was cool. It was a melting pot, but it was, there was not a lot of Black women, and it, particularly, you know, tuition was super high there. And I remember my parents really struggled to send us there.
Mm.
And it wasn't something that was in their budget.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't have certain things being there. So a lot of the girls were like getting the new skater shoes and all this stuff. And, you know, I was going to pay less because with my parents, they'd be able to get me 3 pairs instead of this 1 pair that costs like $90, which was not happening. But they always made sure we had stuff to, you know, to eat, to live our lives. Like, that wasn't the case where I, you know, we didn't have certain things, but we just didn't have some of those nice things that everybody had. And I just remember bringing my fish and my stew to, like, lunch, and the girls were like, what is that? You know,
right, because it's so foreign to anything they've ever seen before.
But
and I'm sure even like Black girls would be like, what is that? Right?
Because
it's probably Nigerian food.
Everyone was like, what is that? You know, or I'd have plantains. And then we were all kind of teaching each other about each other and the different cultures. So, you know, I'd go to one of my girlfriend's house who is Jewish, or, you know, even though it was a Catholic school, some of the families didn't even believe in God. They just sent them there because it was a nice school. So we were all exposed to so many different things. But
did you get ignorant questions about your hair?
All the time. All the time. They'd be like, it changed, or your braids are so long. And they'd be like, you cut your hair. When I take out my braids, I'm like, I definitely didn't.
Yeah. Exactly.
So there was a lot of education. But I mean, when it got to senior year, it was, people knew what was up. So, like, I had taught them, you know, about the community.
Right.
And I learned about their community. I'll never forget the day one of my girlfriends asked me, like, she's like, do you want to go? We're all going to the mall after. We're going to go tanning. You should come. And I was like, I can't go tanning with you. She's like, I didn't even realize what I asked you.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it. She's like, I just wanted you to come with us. And I was like, you know, no negative taken. Like, it's all good.
Yes.
But no, I can't tan with you.
I mean, I guess you could go, but I don't know what that experience would be like. For me, at my all-girls school, eating disorders were like a really big issue.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it's just the combination of being young and being in an all-girls school environment and then like high pressure just is a breeding ground for eating disorders.
I mean, it was a breeding ground for so many different things. And I don't think it differed so much from what you would see in a public school, but because it was all women, it was heightened.
Yeah.
Right. And we were in small groups. So it was very visible. You know, the girls who were struggling with, you know, their weight.
Yeah.
Girls who were struggling with cutting. Girls who were struggling with their parents, their family.
Addiction issues,
you know, substance abuse. It was all there. And you have to think, we're like 14 to 18 years old. We're super young.
Yeah.
To kind of see that stuff. Thankfully, my year turned out very well. Everybody who even had any type of issue was able to evolve. Like, I see some of them today, and they're doing amazing.
Well, I think that stories like yours are so powerful. And the reason why I'm so excited to have you on is because you're super successful and you're ambitious. Like, you work hard. Like, you are about your business. Like, no one would ever accuse you of not being. But you are also kind and you are also nice.
Thank you.
And you also don't take yourself too seriously. And you also have fun and you dance and you find time to, like, do self-care and take care of yourself. And you have a great spiritual practice.
Yes,
so
thanks.
I want people to hear all of that and know where you are now in your career, to know that both, like, all of it is possible.
Yes, it is all possible. Like, I was thinking last night and I was just looking at where my current day was. And sometimes I have this thing where I'm going, and I forget to process. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes the process will hit me. And so then I'll just have these emotions go out. But then I realized that I came up with this statement that everything is in balance, even when it's upside down. So, you know, there's good things that happen and there's quote unquote bad things that happen. And nobody is immune from those bad experiences, mm-hmm. right? So it's, how do you take them? How do you apply them? How do you move forward? In college, something odd happened where a lot of our friends, and I say our friends because I had friends from different classes, their fathers passed.
Oh.
And it was just a really weird time that we were just at this age where, one, we're in college trying to become ourselves, and we were trying to understand where we want to go, and losing a parent is something I can't imagine, but I have a lot of friends who have. And so having to be there and even post all of that, watching them live their lives was just very, just... It's courageous, right?
Yeah.
Because life is a choice. You can, you know, to live, you know what I mean, is a choice. Like, every single day you wake up with this choice. Who am I going to be today? What am I going to do, right? In America, you know, living our lives. And after that, going and trying to work, trying to intern, trying to elevate myself, I definitely dealt with a lot of different things that went on in my family. Like, both my parents had cancer.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry to hear. That is a lot to deal with.
Yeah, it's a lot. And then my younger cousin, who was staying with us, I believe he was 6, also had cancer. And
oh my gosh,
he passed away. And so I think it was
so
just...
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was a really difficult time. And so for me, reality struck, like, whoa, you know.
How old were you when all of this happened?
Oh, I can't even remember. I was in my early 20s and I was working at Revolt.
Okay.
And thank God for my mentors there who just literally understood and gave me grace and time. But I'm saying that to say that I was just looking at life. I was like, wow, time keeps going. Things happen. You have to make these decisions about how you want your life to go, and you have control over.
Absolutely.
That.
Yes.
The other stuff around it, you don't have control over.
Yeah.
So you have to figure out how you're going to be responsive to that. You can break, you could fall, or you could choose to stand up and face what's happening. And then tomorrow you're going to have to stand up and do it again. And tomorrow, the day after that, you're going to have to do it. And the day after that. So eventually you get stronger with actually facing your fears and dealing with this stuff.
And I feel like you are so consistent about your self-care practice.
Oh, I'm very serious about it.
Which is amazing. And we have to get into it, because the fact that you work out you work out 5 days a week or some crazy amount,
yeah,
no matter what's going on.
I try to work out
3 to 5 days
a week.
That's incredible. Do you think that you've developed these healthy habits so that you can have some, like, the things that you can control, you just want them to be at 100%?
Oh, you hit on the nail. Yeah, I want it to be at 100%.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you're going to face.
Right.
Right? And so for me, those are things that I know I can control. I know that when I work out, I'm happy.
Yes.
You know.
Same. But I just don't find the time. Like, when do you work out at home?
Yes. So for me, I kind of think of it like, I have to drive to the gym if I go to the gym. So that's going to cut into the amount of time that I could spend going to the gym. And
okay,
I don't have that, especially with our work
yes.
schedules, you know. So I use the Nike training workout.
Oh, I love that app.
I love that app. So I do the boxing on there. I'm a member at Soho House, so sometimes I'll go to the boxing crew boxing workout classes. But for the most part, it's waking up in between, like, getting out of bed by 7:30 to go work out.
That's early.
But I'm up before that, like, praying and reading. So I'll try and read something I'm interested in.
You're not scrolling your phone.
No, I will not allow myself to scroll through my phone or through emails until I've had my own practice. So I feed myself first, because I'm also single, so I don't have a partner. So I can't roll around and talk to nobody. Right. So I was just telling my younger cousins about this. If I by myself, I will turn on like a podcast or something like that. Yeah. So I'll turn on a church podcast of a sermon, or if I'm interested in a certain business idea, I love the Stanford Entrepreneurial Podcast. So I listen to those all the time. It's different founders and people from different companies in Silicon Valley that just come and talk about whatever they want and their growth. So those help me constantly put my brain in a space where I can be learning, right? Mm-hmm. And I've understood that I can build this lifestyle that I want, and I love maximizing and stretching my time to be as productive as possible.
Yeah.
Right? So I know whenever I listen to music, I can also listen to a podcast. And if I can listen to a podcast, I could turn on a certain subject that's going to help me, right?
Okay. The thing about that, and I've been struggling with this recently.
What is it?
As we get older, I feel like you start to lose touch with just having fun. And I am like this.
Oh, yeah.
I am like this junkie for like effectiveness and like what, like I had a big realization moment when I get massages. I literally bring my AirPods and listen to podcasts. And I was
are
like,
you serious?
Because I'm like, okay, I'm just lying there. I might as well be like learning.
No.
No, exactly. It's horrible. But I also have been thinking so much about how as you get older, you start to become so obsessed with like, how do I have maximum impact? How do I use every single second of my time?
Yes.
And we didn't used to be like that. Mm-mm. You used to just kind of like do whatever you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important to be in touch with that also. So like, how do you find the balance between, because I know you have fun. I see you out. you have fun. So how do you find the balance between like making sure that you're using your time to its like greatest impact and then also just being a young girl in the world.
Oh, man. I know when I'm about to combust. So I do struggle with like stress and anxiety. And part of the working out is so I don't stress eat. I love sugar. Like you.
Yeah, same.
I can eat cookie dough, ice cream with sprinkles any day of the week, any time, any hour.
And working out helps you?
Yeah, working out helps me combat those different cravings, because I know when I'm craving food, I'm probably stressed or I'm having anxiety or it's PMS, and I can control that. So with the balance when it comes to the self-care and trying not to be too type A, one, I submit, I'm type A. That's just like,
you're not going to fight who you are.
I'm not going to fight who we are. So when it comes to play, I'm going hard.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, that's where I feel like you should just go hard. I was joking with some of my friends. I was like, I'm probably like going to be that mom that is still out or like know, doing different things. I have not had a child, so I know moms are probably like laughing at me like, girl, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, but I'm like, Sierra's posting baby Cece on a yacht in a high chair. Like, why can't this be my life as well? I don't see why not. But when I am playing, I'm playing. And when I'm working, I'm working. And when it's my time, it's my time. So I allow those spaces their own ownership. You know, when I'm getting a massage, it's about how I want to feel.
Yes.
So I want to feel relaxed. Actually, during the massages, I usually, because I'm so comfortable, I'll start thinking about different feelings I might be having. So I have these mantras that I'll put in my head so that I'll say to myself, or, you know, when I'm working out, I'm focused on my workout, but maybe I was feeling really slugged that morning. So instead of listening to Spotify's playlist, I'm going to listen to a church sermon. And I realized the other day when I was running, I was like all smiles because I was like listening to, you know, the sermon that was like really doing a lot of praise. And I was like, wow, what would it have been like if I wasn't listening to this sermon? Would I have smiled at those people?
Right.
And then I realized, you know, those people that smiled back, you know, that does affect your day.
Of course. That's positive energy you're putting out into the world.
Yes,
absolutely.
I was receiving it back. So I was like, oh, this is amazing. But I think I just allow those spaces to be the spaces. I have two phones, so I can turn off my work phone.
Yes.
You know, and from those experiences, you know, with time, it's not promised. Mm-hmm. So when I'm in that moment, I allow myself to be in that moment. And if I mess up, it's okay.
Yes.
So I try
to forgive yourself.
I forgive myself. I try and pat myself on the back as much as I can. I think more women need to do that because we kill ourselves thinking that we have to be perfect. You will never reach perfect.
It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist, but you can be your best.
Yes.
And that's all that matters. So figure out where your best is. And that's going to be different from every single other woman because she doesn't live the life that you live. Even if you have the same amount of kids, been with your boyfriend the same amount of time, you work at the same company, it's a different life, it's a different struggle. So we can't sit here and compare ourselves to what she can do and what you can do. What do you want to do and how can you push yourself to do it?
Yeah. I want to get back to the play when you're getting ready to go out and have fun.
Oh my gosh.
What's your look of choice when you're ready to like go out and you know you want heads to turn?
Oh man, well it's definitely lashes because
your lashes look amazing.
I still look like I'm under 21, which is like an issue.
You have incredible skin.
Thanks, Mom. So when I'm getting ready. It's definitely, I love my hair. So I change my hair all the time.
Your hair is, and you do it yourself, right?
Yes.
Like I remember, you did your own braids.
Yeah, I do my own braids. So that's like a Saturday on Netflix.
How did you learn how to do it?
When I was younger.
Okay.
Because all the people that my mom had to do my, if my mom was going to do my hair, I was going to have, which is not bad, but I was going to have these African braids. And the real African cornrow designs are, they don't use extension hair.
Yeah, no,
like when we were younger, it's just they call it plaiting. So plaiting the hair and braiding it in these crazy designs. And I was like, enough is enough. Enough is enough, Mom. Yeah. So I'm going to learn how to braid my own hair.
Yeah.
And we're going to figure this out. And when I did it, it worked. So it just stuck with me. I could braid. But I'm definitely one of those black women that cannot cornrow. So, you know, when I have, you know, when they're like, take off your wig, what does it look like? Don't. Take it off. Don't touch it. Don't move it. It'll be fine. And then I've recently really tried to go natural, and I love Brooke's natural hair. Oh,
thank you. It's so good.
But I'm learning how to play with it. I love switching up my hair, so I love going long. Yes. I love having it short. I love doing natural hair, and I love cornrows, too. I love cornrows extensions. To me, it's my image. I remember my mentor was like, you need to be consistent. I was like, I am. I consistently change it.
Exactly. My consistent is that I'm always changing. Talk to me about wig life because so I wore my first wig ever on Halloween and it was so complicated and I had to cut lace and I was using a spray and a glue and I was like, this is beyond my skill set. Is it something that you think, if you don't know what you're doing, just avoid? Or do you think you can teach yourself?
No, you could teach yourself. You could teach yourself. You just have to be okay with, you know, your first couple times might look a little crazy because you're trying to get it right, you know? And one of my girlfriends from high school, Ada, she has her company, Brown Lush, and she just slays them. So I was like, this is something I should pay for because it's something I can't do myself.
Yes, yes.
Right? And so then she moved away and all hell broke loose. So I had to figure out how to do this on my own. But it's an investment, right? And I think that it's something that, for me, it protects my natural hair.
Yes.
And knowing that, oh, I want to have long hair. I shouldn't really manipulate my natural hair to do that, right?
Because
I
could flat iron it, or color it.
And so as I get more and more into it, I learn more and more. And I ask a lot of questions. I ask my girlfriends whose wigs I like.
Mm-hmm.
I learn about the things I don't like. When I was managing influencers prior to coming to Instagram, I worked with a lot of black talent. And so some of them wore their hair natural. Some of them had wigs. And so they'd be like, oh, well, you should do this. And I'm like, that's a sign that this doesn't look right. So I'll try it, and, you know, try something different. But it's the beauty of being a woman is that I really believe every woman is inside you.
Yes.
You know?
Totally. And tap into that and not to be so afraid.
Afraid of it. At all.
So when you're concepting a look, let's say you have like a big fun event or a party, you start with the hair?
I definitely start with the hair.
Okay.
So I already know this week that I'm like, okay, I have a bunch of events. New York, I don't want to manipulate my hair too much. I need something that's simple and easy so that the rest of my clothing just accentuates whatever hair I have going on.
Yes.
So I was like, we're going to try a short bob. And that's also different because I'm always wearing like 26 to 27 inches. So this shoulder look is going to be different. So that'll already turn heads. So then on top of that, whatever outfit I wear is going to just top it off, you know?
Yes.
So that I literally think about that. And it's not that I'm sitting here wearing it for men, but it's something like, it's so much fun to play with your look. Many of you guys don't know, but Brooke comes into the office every time I'm in New York and I see her in these like classic outfits where I'm like, wow, I need to wear color and I'm only wearing black. And wearing black to me is almost like a trick because it means I don't have to think too much. If it's black, it's okay.
Yes.
Which really doesn't mean style. It's to me, it just means laziness in a sense.
Black
and I'm speaking for myself.
Very chic. Black can be very chic. And you always look so put together and great. And you also, but you do cool experimental looks as well. You should give yourself more credit.
I'm definitely wearing a neon shirt tomorrow. So you will see that.
Can't wait. Do you find that you attract different men with the hair, with however your hair is styled?
Actually,
that's so interesting.
Sadly, it's not. I would say, actually, no, you're right. It is, because when I wear my natural hair and I just get it done, I hear, hey, queen, hey, then, like, I hear that all day. Yes, in LA, like, I remember I had the windows down and I was listening to music and I hear, hey, hey, hey. And I'm like, oh, man, maybe he needs help. He's like, you're beautiful. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. You know, or you'll catch guys really staring. You know, every woman has probably had this. If it hasn't happened, it's gonna happen to you one day. Where a guy walks into a wall,
that happens to you a lot.
Well, the natural hair, just like men don't know what to do. I think it's just seeing a woman in her like most
original form.
Yeah, original form. And I know when I do the glam, because I don't do it all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, so when people see it, they're like, wow.
They're like, oh, damn.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Yeah. This is what, this is the same person.
Yes.
So I'm not really consistent with my glam. I would like to be, but there are levels. There's like basic, this is just concealer, regular mascara, and I make sure my brows are done.
Yeah, you have beautiful brows.
Thanks.
I'm so jealous. They're so thick and healthy and like
Anthony
amazing.
Andrews brows. In
okay.
LA,
okay, amazing.
Is my savior. And then skincare. So skincare is super important.
Yeah, talk to me about your skincare routine because your skin is amazing.
My sister is actually an esthetician. Thank God for her, or I'd be SOL.
I saw she did a resurfacing.
Oh, she
does.
She does everything. The treatment that she did last. Is a treatment where she's going to hate me because I can't even remember what it was, but it was something with plasma. So she basically like drew my blood and then funneled it so that the plasma was separated and then injected that into my skin. Very next level. Yeah. And then also under your eyelids or your eyes, right?
Yeah.
So that, you know, getting rid of the dark circles. And so basically just like it makes your skin look super like tight and nice
Amazing.
And plump and hydrated. Like everything. Yeah, and it's a supernatural treatment.
Yeah.
So she
that's
is
great to have that in your family.
Oh yeah, in my family. And prior to her, you know, before she had her system all set up, I was going to my girlfriend Cynthia, who also does skincare. And I think it's just important that you find somebody who also that you can spiritually connect with, because people can put all types of chemicals in your skin that just may not be good. But what I really love about the people that I go to for my beauty services is that they assess me.
Yes.
Right? So they assess me, they figure out what I need, and they provide that care based on my preference or whatever I may be asking for. Yeah. My hair girl, oh my gosh, there's been times I was like, well, I love this hair. She's like, we're not doing that.
Yes.
Your hair won't go that way.
I interviewed my hairdresser on this podcast, and people were like, oh, wow, I didn't realize how important the relationship have with your hairstylist is, because it's a creative collaboration, right?
Yeah.
It's like you throw out an idea, they assess it, they're an expert. Like, it's not just one size fits all.
No, not one size fits all. And so my sister, obviously, she loves me, right?
Yes.
So she's like, we're not doing that, we're doing this. And, you know, if I need her to cut my wig, she'll cut my wig and stuff like that. And she's just really grown her business. And same with Sin, who also has like two kids, but still like finds time to make her own business work. And then Anthony, who does my brows every time and we go in there, it's a session.
Yeah.
And we're talking about everything. And it's literally just a brow wax, you know. Even the woman who does my bikini wax, I've known her for probably years.
Yeah.
You know,
gotta get those professionals lined up in your life.
Yeah. And I think it's important to pay the appropriate amount, but like, you know, pay for good service.
Yeah.
Because it's your body. So this is important.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Now, living in LA, do you feel that temptation to start? I mean, you look so young, so you don't have to do anything. But we know people there are doing the most. They're doing Botox, they're doing fillers.
Yeah.
Starting as young as 20.
Yeah.
Do you ever get tempted?
No. And the funny thing is, I mean, I've done like the laser. I do the laser hair removal on my chin area. But
is that painful?
No. I kind of like pain.
Okay.
So I got a weird
Do you have tattoos?
Thing. I have one on my middle finger.
Oh, really? See, a lot of people like can't stop at one. Like I hear that tattoos are addictive and once you start, you want more and like they like the pain. I can't really relate to that.
I mean, it's more of like, can you brace this? So I think I'm like, I can. And I'm sure this isn't like, I don't know. It's one and I've if you followed me on IG long enough, you know I've asked more than once, should I do the rest of my fingers on the inside? And
the poll results have said yes. So
yes. So then I've actually given myself to the end of this year. And if I am 100% at yes, like if I'm still feeling it, then I go on to decide what I'm going to put on there. So I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll wait until I have kids and put my kids' names on there or something like that, you know, or I knew maybe.
What do you have now?
So on there right now, it's kind of bled. So dark skin bleeds, but it says in my native language, which means live life free. And life is real. Excuse me. And that's where the AA.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, which is life. And so for me, it was like life is important, but you should be free. Like it's real. Like everything that happens to you, you feel it.
Yeah.
But be free. Be free to feel all of that. You know. And I kind of put on my middle finger as like a, you know, an ode to like I could do whatever I want.
Yes. No, and it's so deep just hearing your backstory and the fact that you were confronted with loss at such a young kind of pivotal time in your life and how that's kind of informed your spiritual practice, your approach to self-care, and then your approach to
everything.
Everything.
Yeah. It was like loss to gain.
Yes.
Right? And so I realized that things could be taken away from me. So it was important for me to value them while they were here, no matter what the circumstance, and to fight through that. So I fight for my relationships. I learned to be consistent with who I am in my relationships. It doesn't matter. Like, it matters how I'm feeling that day, but it matters how I treat this person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people feel like they can be whoever to whoever and be a little reckless. But for me, I don't want to make anyone feel negative, you know. And I think when I was working in the music industry, it was just so brash. Yeah. And I felt myself becoming really tough. Yeah. I'm already a tough person, but I didn't like who I was becoming. And I realized I was around all these men who were pretty gangster.
Yeah.
They're dope, but they're gangster. Yeah. And I was like, if I'm going to compete with them, then what can I win with? And I realized it was my femininity. And I was like, I don't really know how to hone in on that. Yeah. So I changed my career to work with female influencers and help them build their brand. So I was essentially going back to focusing on the talent, but being around more female-driven ideas and building blocks, which helped me frame my femininity and really step into that and be comfortable with myself, knowing I was already type A, I'm already, you know, all these things. Yes. But, you know, how could I be becoming as a straight woman, like, you know, and not compete with masculinity?
Yeah. How do men approach you? Because
they don't.
Because I was going to say, but I would imagine that you're intimidating for them.
Yeah. I think, I don't know why.
I know why. You're like successful and you're beautiful and they're probably thinking like, I don't know what I have to offer her.
I think it's also like the no BS.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, when men approach me, it's very funny because my girlfriends are like, you're so slow. You do not get that this guy likes you. And anybody who I've been involved with or in a situation, I've actually only had one boyfriend in my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one boyfriend from high school to college, and we broke up. He was amazing. First love of my life. But it was very traumatic for me in the sense that I learned, wow, love is real. And then on top of that, if I ever partner, I just learned that I wanted to be in a partnership one day.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, and through that time, I learned that it wasn't what is going to be my entire identity. So who I am as a mother, who I am in this world. So, and again, through my loss and gain, when I die, how will people remember me? They'll be like, oh, that wife. Like, no.
No, right.
You know, it's who I am. So maintaining that. And I think I kind of go back to, you know, my spirituality and knowing that, like, if you are also a certain type of woman, then you're not going to be for everyone.
Yes. And you don't want to be for everyone.
Yeah, and I'm not for everyone. So, you know, for a while I was like, I don't date. And then I realized, actually, I shouldn't say that because dating to me is flirting. Dating to me is like smiling at a guy. Dating to me is like going out with a group of girlfriends. And I guess I really struggle with subscribing to like the Western idea of dating.
Yes.
And that it needs to look and feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had men who I haven't been intimate with and whatsoever, who I've had strong, quote unquote, relationships with.
It's a different type of intimacy. It's not physical intimacy. It's that emotional intimacy.
Emotional intimacy. And I think that's where men kind of start with me. Yeah. And it'll start in more of like a playful friendship way. And I don't know how I get trapped into that. I think it's just because I'm like, oh, yeah, we're just talking and it's really cool. We're close. And I'm like, oh, no, then he held my hand and it was really weird. I didn't know why he did that.
And all your friends are like, girl, he has been in love with you from the beginning. And you're like, oh, yeah, I guess it is weird that he texts me and calls me constantly.
Constantly. And I didn't know that that's what he does. Because I'm like, I guess I look at it as it. I'll know when he says it and maybe I'm like a Pinocchio with my nose getting bigger and I have no idea what I'm talking about. But I think that, you know, I don't even believe in settling down anymore. Ooh. I just think past 30 now, and I'll be 31 in April, which is not that much past 30. But I'm just learning that, again, when it comes to Western idea of dating, settling down is you have a family now, you have a husband now, you don't do those things that you did before marriage. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm still going to be on a plane. I'm probably going to have a man with me now. That's the only difference. The kids might stay at home or they might be in business with me. Yeah. Like there's really no difference. Yeah. I can't stop.
The train's not stopping for anyone.
The train is not stopping for anyone. These people are getting on. Yeah. They're getting on board. Yeah. And I'm probably getting on another train with my partner that I have no idea about as well. And it's going to get crazier and funner. It's not going to stop. Yeah. And so I think the men that I meet are like, whoa, I think they're intimidated by that.
Yeah.
Knowing that, because I kind of look at it like this. If I wanted to be married, I could have had a house in the valley and been chilling.
You could have done that.
Could have done that, you know, and had my family
and
everything.
You're looking for a totally different experience
and a meeting of worlds. And opening up my world and a mirror that can actually, you know, not be afraid to tell me things because I'm very stubborn and have my own way.
But are you a Taurus?
No, I'm an Aries. My sister's a Taurus.
My husband's an Aries. So.
Oh,
I know Aries. No, but I love him. I love Aries energy. It's like strong and like
passionate,
and like you have willpower and you push things through, and that's so important. I'm a Leo, so like
Aries, Leo.
But my brother's a Taurus, and he is so stubborn. It is like. Unlike anything I've ever seen before. The more you try to get him to change, the more he stays.
I can't tell my older sister anything.
Yeah,
I can't.
I've stopped.
I love my older sister, but I can't tell her anything. I can't tell her nothing. But that girl is strong. The girl is super strong. So yeah, I think they're intimidated by that. But it doesn't bother me because there's so many things going on in life that I'm excited.
You're not up at night thinking about.
No.
Where is he?
No. I think he's on a plane. I always say that. Everyone asks me, I'm like, he's on some plane. I have no idea. I also have this weird theory that I probably already know him. Not that, like, I know him. Like, he knows about me.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Just something weird. Some, you know, part of me being, like, an empath. I don't know.
I just have this feeling. All right. Let's talk about the beauty products that you are obsessed with.
Ooh.
What are, like, your favorite beauty products at the moment? Or beauty trends?
Yeah. So I definitely am a fan of Fenty.
Love.
Foundation, the Pro Filter.
Yes.
Makes my skin just look matte. And then I've been trying to get into makeup that, you know, doesn't have the parabens,
yep.
you know, that's just healthier for my skin.
Yeah.
And really leaning into, like, less is more.
Yes.
Not necessarily that I need to wear less, but, like, the less look is more.
Yes. When I saw Jordan Woods on Red Table Talk.
Everybody was trying to get that look.
I was like, I have never seen makeup this, like, flawlessly snatched. But it was, like, a no-makeup look that just killed. Yeah.
That killed it. And I also, like, when I don't want to wear too heavy foundation, the NYX Drop Foundation is almost, like, a good dupe for the Fenty.
Really?
Yeah. It's a little bit more oily.
Okay.
But you just use a lighter amount. And they have so many different shades. Because I do have some of my dark circles, so I definitely use a color correcting stick.
Yes, Jackie Ina put me on to color corrector
because
it was a whole step that I was skipping. But I realized that for like dark circles, it's really important.
Oh, it's really important. So even on some of, and I'm not afraid to say this because we're all like just being ourselves here, but like even like in the mustache area, it's just like a little darker tint for me. So I line there, I line around my nose,
your mouth. Yeah.
And it really helps that I work with a lot of beauty people, so I'm always getting new tips.
Yeah.
I love MAC Fulfilled lip gloss. Like that's just been one of my favorite ones. I have to go to Nymes in the valley to go get it. And if you've never been to Nymes and you live in California or if you're planning to visit, it is the emporium for makeup. Like Kim K goes there and shuts down the store and buys makeup. Everything is literally in there. Skincare, everything.
Really?
Oh,
I've
yeah.
never heard of this place. I have to check this out.
Yeah, Nymes is amazing. Nigel's is there too, close by, but it's in the valley. It's worth the drive, and it's worse than a Sephora. It's worse than a Sephora.
And Sephora is like my danger zone.
Yeah, Sephora is the danger zone for me because that's where I go to get the new stuff that I maybe haven't tried.
Yes.
You know, walking in there, the women are just helpful and yes, try this. And they kind of like, I'm like, did you read the ingredient? How do you know this? I've definitely been using Mariana's mask, the jet lag mask because of travel. So when I get on the plane, that's like all I'll wear.
Okay.
SkinCeuticals is my favorite skincare.
Yeah, they make great stuff.
Yeah. And then Zoe skincare as well.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. That one, that face wash, totally transform your skin. You know when you go from different seasons, so in the winter, I'm very dry. So I'll need like B5 gel. And then recently, I remember seeing you say something about oils. So I'd asked my sister, and my sister gave me this oil. And I woke up the next morning, she's like, what'd you do to your skin? I was like, I used your oil.
Shout out to your sister. What oil was it?
Oh, I can't even remember the name. I have to share with you. But it was a brand that she found on Instagram.
Okay.
And it was just like this like woman who has all natural ingredients.
Yes. And facial oils are amazing. They make you feel so radiant. And yeah.
I wore it at night and I woke up and said, what have I been missing this step? And I think just for someone who just like suffers from oily skin, like my nose and around my cheek area will just get so oily no matter what I put on.
But I feel like, so I think I have dry skin, but I feel like the dewy look is very in at the moment. So oily skin isn't so bad. I feel like having dry skin is like really tough.
But I'm on that border where it goes from dewy to oily real fast. So I'd rather be like matte.
Yeah. Do you use blotting papers?
I do. I swear before this, I was like, I need to buy a small tooth comb and some more blotting papers. I need to step out to the store. And surprisingly in New York, your guys's, you know, like Duane Reade's and CVS's have such great like black beauty hair care.
Well, it depends which neighborhood you're in.
Yeah, because it's dry in LA. Like I don't know where I was. I think I was in Boston on a trip and I was like, I need coconut oil. I literally had to buy it from a grocery store for my scalp. Oh yeah, it was awful. And then I'm most excited to try Nikita Dragon has this new kit that's basically helping to color correct hyperpigmentation and to just like blow out your skin. So I'm excited to try that. But other than that, I'm using masks. Like the SkinCeuticals clay mask is just, my skin just glows after I use that.
So I always ask people this when they find a natural product that they love. Have you looked at the type of clay that it is? Because it's probably Rasool clay or bentonite clay.
I think it's bentonite clay.
Okay, which you can literally buy in bulk on Amazon for like $20.
Yes, yes.
And have 200 face masks versus, I'm sure SkinCeuticals is charging a lot for it.
It is expensive, but like I'm also like I find something and I'll use it. I'm tippy-toeing into that.
Okay, yeah. Now,
so this is the other thing. So being the type A person, I'm like, I could save money doing it this way. I'm like, I'll get there, but I don't have time right now.
Yeah. Clay masks, though, are honestly so easy. It's just water.
Yeah.
And then if you're feeling like extra, you can do apple cider vinegar or rose water.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting there. I need to. Okay. Like, I'm stepping into the oils, that oil. My skincare changes too.
Okay.
So
depending on the season.
Yeah. I know I'm going to Nigeria in April. My skin's going to be bomb. Like I wasn't wearing any makeup when I was, I think I was doing like little.
Is the air quality just better?
It's the sun.
Yeah.
It's the sun is just at a great temperature and it's warm and moist. So it's like my skin is being fed. Right? So everybody's skin is just glowing.
Yeah.
So all I have to do is add a little bit of like the, I think it's Milk's. They have this like a, what is it? It's like a sparkly stick.
The strobe light thing.
Yeah. So I just do a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Mascara. Make sure my brows are done. I always do that and fill them in. And I'm ready to roll. Another good concealer too that actually matches my skin is actually Glossier's. So I really want to wear something light. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always cover my dark circles, but
I feel like I'm not a candidate for that. I'm like, I need more coverage than Miss Glossier. I am not your girl.
But when I use the color corrector with that, it gives it a little bit more lift.
And the color corrector that you're using, is it an orange color?
Yeah, it's an orange. It's e.l.f. So I'm using e.l.f. right now. Before I was using LA Girl, and then I was like, parabens, I've got to get rid of this.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like there's going to be some new color correctors on the market because people are seeing that it's something that they need, especially women of color. So I'm excited to see where that goes.
What about the beauty trends that you're really over? Or any like bad products that you've tried and you're just like, why is this still a thing that people are buying into?
You know what? My sister loves to throw up my skincare. She goes to my bathroom. She's like, she almost has like a heart attack. She's like, you're leaving these all out in the open and you shower in here. I was like, girl, we'll be okay. Like, it's totally fine. I feel, man, the obsession with the cleanliness, I totally get it. Clean your beauty blenders, clean all this, clean all that. I'm like, I'll get there. I feel like I'm bad. That's the trend that I don't participate in. Like, I'll clean them like once a week and people are like, you need to clean them every
day. Wait, what?
Or buy a bulk. And I'm like, I can't do that.
Wait, you're supposed to clean your brushes every day?
Yeah.
I've like, never heard that in my life.
Yes. So the spray cleaner, clean them all. Or a lot of the talent that I work with, they have like hundreds
and
of brushes.
And they just use it and throw it away?
No, they use a new brush. So, like,
and what do they do with the old one? They throw it away?
No, they put it in a pile. So at the end of like the week or how many, because, you know, these women are wearing makeup way more than us.
Yeah.
So they'll have like 50 brushes because of all the different techniques that they use and stuff like that. These girls are artists.
Yeah, they're next level.
But there's really, you know, a trend that I can never really get into, and I think it's because it made me look too young, was just the sparkles on my eyes. Like, you rarely will find glitter on my eyes at all.
Yeah.
And the trend that I wish I could master that will forever be classy and never go out of style is like the smoky eye.
I wish I could master a smoky eye. I don't know how people do it.
I look like I've been hit.
Yeah, like
when
black
I do
eye.
It.
Yeah, I can't do it. But then when you have a makeup artist do it, you're like, wow.
Flawless. And I know they always accent it with a silver or gold on my face because being dark skinned, that just flows nicer on our skin, you know, but don't put pink on my face. It's not happening.
Okay. I feel like pink would look pretty on you.
Sometimes. It takes a lot of technique to do that, right?
Yeah.
But like finding like a good nude, that's why, you know,
yes.
The glass bomb from Fenty is really, I think it's glass bomb, right?
I'm the same way though about nude lips. Like, I don't like wearing like pink or red or orange but a lot of black women, like, and it looks great. Like, it looks amazing. But for me, for some reason, it's like,
it's loud for me.
Yeah.
It's very strong. So I could do a red. I might do a red this week. Who knows? You'll see.
Yeah.
But
I can do a red too.
Oh my gosh. Milani Fixation.
What's that?
So that it's like this reddish, it's more red with like a tint of like orange. It's almost like that, like, burnt, I don't even know if you'd say it's the burnt orange red, but every single time I wear that one, everyone's like, what is on your lips? And like, you can find it at your local drugstore, or if it's probably sold out there, it's online, and it's a matte. I love a matte lip.
Yeah.
I love a matte lip, but you got to like scrub first.
Yes.
To make sure.
If you have dry lips and you're doing that, it's just not, it's not the right look.
That's like,
yes.
It's bad.
Yes.
It's so bad.
Can we talk about like dark skin privilege for a moment? Because I feel like dark skin is so beautiful and it's so rich. And like, do you appreciate it?
Oh, that's probably like, I don't even speak about it that much, but I never really tell people, but I've always loved my skin.
Yeah.
Even when I've been called the N-word, even when people have made fun of me for being black, I have never once wanted to be any other color. And I think it just really started from home, where when I'm looking at my parents and their skin, and then I also have other family members who are lighter, who are darker, who are mixed, and we're just, I've always found our skin beautiful.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm looking at, and my parents' faces who have tribal marks on their face, you know, so I've just always thought black is beautiful. I've never thought anything else. And you can't even like make me upset now. Like, you can't.
Do you see the bleaching creams when you're in Lagos?
Oh, yes.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel sad, you know, because I know it's something that is coming because they're seeing Western culture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not something that even just happens in Nigeria. I've seen it when I've traveled in Brazil and other countries.
It's a global thing.
Yeah,
India, Asia.
Yeah, and it's really sad, you know, because I'm looking at some of the skin and, like, you know, where I'll see people and I'm like, I know this person has, like, bleached their skin. And even further than that, too, I wore my hair natural a lot. When I'm in Nigeria, I'm not wearing wigs. It's too hot for all that. At that point, your wig is a hat. Like, you can't you can't do that. You're just stressing yourself out. So I was wearing my hair natural, and the girls were like, wow, I wish I could wear my hair
but
like
you
yours.
You can. I'm always so surprised when people say that, I wish I could. It's like, what? Why can't you?
Because I think that over there, like, plaiting your, I say a lot of things like my parents, plaiting is braiding. So when you plait your hair and you braid, like, that's the style that your hair is always braided. It's kempt like that.
Yes.
And it must go way back where, like, mm-hmm. you don't leave your hair not.
Yeah. You don't wear your hair out.
Out.
Yeah.
Right. So when I was wearing my hair out, people were looking at me all kinds of ways. And I showed them, I actually had to show them some of my other Instagram pictures and show them, like, hey, this is a video. They're like, well, how did you learn how to do that? I'm like, go on YouTube.
Yes.
And you can, like, learn. I said, follow people. And I tell people all this all the time. Follow people that look like you.
Yes. Like, that have your same kind of complexion or hair type.
Hair type.
Yeah.
Your hair type. Because if you are looking at Curly Sally, who's also mixed, and you are 4C, your hair doesn't do that.
Right. Yeah. You have to find someone with a similar
type, you know, or wears wigs you like, you know. And then on top of that, I'd say find 3 to 4 to make sure that the tutorial was actually the way it was.
Get some other sources.
Get some other sources or go read them comments or other tips. Like, you know, before I buy certain hair when I'm braiding, I'll go look at the different reviews. You know, I noticed that the Echo Styler gel, there was like a whole thing on that gel. And it's like, this is the only thing that smooths my edges. What am I going to do?
Eco Styler gel is literally what I use for my wash and goes religiously. Is there something wrong with it?
Well,
I use the olive oil one.
Is that the green one,
the
right?
The green one, yeah. Yeah. I tried the other ones and I was like, no.
They're not working. So I tried the yellow one. That one didn't lay anything down.
I think
people were saying that, you know, it was making their hair fall or they were having different. But, like, again, we're all so different.
We're all different. Everyone has different experiences.
We have different reactions. I was like, looking at my hair right now, I know where my edges aren't growing. I also look at my dad and my mom, and I'm like, there's no edges there either.
So. Right, and some of this is hereditary.
So I was like, that hair is going because it's supposed to go.
Exactly. It's like when people talk about, like, oh, having dark circles under your eyes. And I'm like, I've actually had dark circles under my eyes since I was 9 or 10 years old. Like, it's not, you know, some things are just hereditary.
And, like, I know you asked the earlier question about if I feel any pressure to change myself. And the answer is yes, but the answer always goes back to no. So, you know, my dad has 3 girls and 1 boy. So it's up to a lot's up to my brother. Good luck, Felix. But for me, the only thing I'll carry, really, like, I don't know if I'll hyphenate my last name or if it'll become my middle name or whatever. Don't think that far ahead. But I do know I have his nose. And I'm like, there is this large lump on my nose, but if I give you a certain angle, then the hump is gone.
Oh, your nose is beautiful.
Thanks.
I think it's one of your best features. Everything works together. Like, you have this beautiful, like, heart-shaped situation.
So that's the thing for all of us.
Yes.
And then also in the Black community, our faces differ. So if you go to the same surgeon or doctor that Sally went to, they might not know your face type.
Yeah.
So in order for me to avoid any of that, I will do as much natural care as possible. I feel like that was the only thing I ever wanted to change was my nose. And then as I got older, I realized, like, this is my dad's nose. I don't want to change my dad's nose. Even, like, my teeth, like, you know, I've thought about Invisalign. That's, like, the farthest I would go because I've had so many upsetting dental, issues when my wisdom teeth were removed.
Ugh.
The surgeon severed the nerve, so half my tongue is numb. So
to this day,
it was happened like 2-3 years ago. Yeah, so by the end of the day, I'll start, like, talking with a lag.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
That's really intense.
So I have to try really hard to do my speech correctly, but sometimes I'll just be like, really, like, forget it. I'm
tired.
I would have never noticed. Yeah, or, you know, so I could still eat meat. I could still chew. I'm fine. When I was, like, 9, was I 9? I don't even know how old I was. I was on my brother. Again, I was playing with my brother. He had messed with my brakes on my skates and it was something like, I think I might have said I wanted mine to be like his or something like that. So the brakes were messed up or something. Ran into a tree, knocked out my front tooth. Oof. So I had to have a crown put in on what was like left of it, you know, and then just,
Things happen. We all have scars and
marks.
We all have scars and marks.
Like even when I was sitting on a brick wall, when I was younger, I was playing, and the brick is in between my legs, like the wall. So I'm sitting on it like a Humpty Dumpty, one over. And I remember I was like, yay! And I stand up. It's like, and when I stood up, my legs brushed against the brick. And I remember it was just all bloody there. Like, I still have those scars on the inside of my legs. But I just think these are
Life experiences that you collect, and that you collect are part of you.
When I look at my dad's legs, I mean, he has keloids, all these scars, and I was like, "Well, how'd you get some of these?" And he told me, he said, "You know, we were playing soccer." I'm like, "Well, were you playing where?" He's like, "You know, we played in the sand," and it's not fully resonant. Like, I'm not understanding that this guy was playing with no shoes in Africa, in Nigeria. Like, and he's like, there's a lot of glass. And I'm like,
wow,
this wasn't one game. And, you know, or like, you know, when I used to drive motorcycle, and there's this huge like scar on his leg. And I just think these scars make you,
who you are.
So I'm not changing it.
Yes. I feel like I could talk to you all night. Literally. Right. Like, don't you feel like we've just like started and it's been like, wow, like an hour and a half. When do you feel most beautiful?
When I'm bringing my full, honest self to the table and I'm allowed to connect with somebody on that. So I feel beautiful right now talking to you.
Yes. Thank you so
much. Because I think it's transparency.
Yes. And transparency is so important. And it's so important that we share our stories and how they've made us who we are today. So I really, really thank you for coming on and sharing so much of yourself and being vulnerable and just... Thank you.
Well, thank you. I think it's really good that you do this, because more communities where women embrace other women and we could be honest and people can connect and just even hear voices outside of ourselves is super powerful, and it stays with women and it resonates with women. And I believe there's this beautiful part of femininity, no matter what type of woman, your orientation or whatever, when we're allowed to express ourselves and be vulnerable and share our stories, we can grow together.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I like felt that in my soul.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.